company will view it.
Yes. So you are the manufacturer. So if you were supposed to have, you know, every product comes with certain X grams of this, Y amount of this, and you didn't go by that, and so it turns out to be something else, or the product turns out to be something, and then somebody consumes it, and it has a certain effect because from the manufacturing stage something went wrong. And so somebody consumes the product and the person gets hurt or injured, or even sometimes the person may die. They can really sue you for that. Mm.
I'm writing down a lot of questions, but I want you to finish.
Okay.
So please go ahead.
We go to the marine insurance, like I said. So for marine insurance, we are looking at insurances for vessels, marine vessels, so ships, boats, and the like. And then we also look at the cargo that is being transported. Apart from the hull, which is the ship, the vessel itself, you can also do the marine insurance also takes care of the cargo. And when the cargo comes in terms of the cargo, it is not only by sea, but also by air. So cargo that is moved by air falls under marine insurance.
Why the nomenclature marine?
That is the general space. When it comes to the insurance for the aircraft, then it is aviation insurance. But when it comes to the cargo, the items being moved, the cargo being moved, either by air or by sea, it is marine insurance.
I'm tempted to find that. Is there a story behind? There's always a story.
Right. So marine insurance is the oldest form of insurance. I mean, long before all the other types of insurances came in.
Exactly.
It is the oldest form of insurance. And it started when traders or merchants who were shipping their goods experienced some losses. So they agree that at a point, they agree, okay, we are a certain number of us, we are transporting our goods by the sea. If something goes wrong, we'll share the losses that occur. We'll share proportionately among ourselves, and that is how marine insurance came about. And
but have the amendments been made when movement of cargo by air commenced? I'm sure that amendments have been made to the policy or to that provision. Or cover of insurance, if I'm using general terms.
No,
so, for example, it started because movement of cargo was over the waters.
Yes.
In time, movements also began to move by air.
Yes.
And I'm saying that regardless of the fact that it's referred to as marine insurance, just for our own education, there is still amendment to that documentation to represent the dangers and the risks that exist when you're moving things by air.
Yes.
Though it's called marine insurance,
it can be taken for both cargo being moved by air or by sea. All right. And so there are different types of insurance. You know, when it comes to motor, you have comprehensive, third-party fire and theft, and then the third party. Mm-hmm. In marine insurance also, we have what we call clause, institute cargo clause A, clause B, and clause C. It's similar to the clause A is the more comprehensive one, and the clause C is the least comprehensive. Now, there's this provision in the law that talks about compulsory marine cargo insurance. If you are importing any goods into the country, you need to take the insurance locally. In fact, the government through the Ministry of Finance issued a directive that effective 1st February 2026, it is compulsory to strictly follow this provision in the law. You are required by law to insure your goods coming in as cargo. Okay, commercial, and to comply with the law. The rationale is for the benefit of the country to reduce capital flight, to sustain, because you pay the premiums in hard earned currency to insurers overseas. It's also to sustain the economic gains we are making in inflation, exchange rate, interest rates, and the like. Mm-hmm. It's also to boost insurance penetration. All right. When you take the insurance locally, one of the benefits is that it increases the penetration of insurance. And then One of the benefits too for the importers is that you have the insurers here. They are not abroad. Sometimes for the overseas insurers, you have to be dealing with an insurer and there are language barriers. You try to engage them either by email or by phone. There are difficulties, there are challenges. You are far away from them. And sometimes it can be very, very frustrating for the importer. Now, one of these benefits, you have the insurers here locally. You can see them, you can go to them, and it makes it easier for you. Now,
before you continue, there's a question I was going to ask later, but they just keep jumping at me. And I think that, you know, maybe we should just ask them now so that our listeners can also understand this very clearly. I totally understand the reasons why a country, or let's say Ghana, would implement those and make it law and compulsory for the importer. Obviously, when you're importing or when you're exporting, clearly there's got to be insurance. Now, the last reason you gave for me sounds the strongest. Local content. There's got to be some business generated for our people here. And sometimes that is done by policy and by law. I get it completely. But where is the risk when I'm importing? I'm just asking this question as a layperson, Uncle Kumlemle, who is selling, importing slippers.
Right.
Where is the risk? The risk is when the goods are in transit.
Right.
Maybe you can go on and say when they have arrived in the warehouse, in the bond warehouse.
For marine insurance,
it is when it is in transit.
Not necessarily. It can. There are different models you can do. You can do from warehouse to warehouse, port to.
I'm asking a question as a layperson. I know where you're coming from.
So when
the thing has already arrived,
right,
it will make sense for my insurer to be here in country,
right,
than dealing with somebody who's abroad. Right. But is a position on insurance not to have a double gain when it is not non-life, so that the person exporting, if I am the one moving the goods from China, it will not leave China, I'm sure, by Chinese law, if it is not covered by marine insurance. We are saying in Ghana that I'm sitting here importing it, I must also do insurance by my country's law. Isn't there dual insurance on the same?
So these are some of the frequently asked questions that come up. Won't there be double? No, there will be no double. You need to let the supplier know. In fact, so there are stakeholders involved in all of this enforcement.
Right.
So, for example, before, you know, these are huge consignments, and you need to, for example, you go to the bank, mm-hmm, for a letter of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Before the bank gives you the letter of credit, they would want to cite, mm-hmm, the evidence of a local insurance policy, mm-hmm, as part of the process.
Okay.
When the goods also arrive at the port, the customs team would also inspect and would want to see evidence of the policy you took,
mm,
as part of the process for clearing the items.
Mm-hmm.
There's the National Insurance Commission. So the Ministry of Finance, being the government agency, is the policy, gives the policy direction and oversight. There's the National Insurance Commission, which is the regulator for, mm-hmm, the insurance industry, who is enforcing this provision, which is already in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's customs playing their role by inspecting or verifying that you have the cover. Then there's the Bank of Ghana through the banking system, ensuring that before letters of credit are issued, you have insurance cover. Now, because it is a law, this is the destination of the goods. Mm-hmm. It's coming to Ghana. So the law here supersedes any other provision elsewhere. It is the law here. So once the goods are coming to this country, the laws of the country takes precedence. So you need to arrange with the supplier. Let the supplier know that this is the law in my country. So I'm supposed to take the insurance in Ghana, and you can only take, you must only take,
Michael, I get
there's,
it.
There shouldn't be any double insurance.
I get it.
Yes, there shouldn't be any double.
There's no double insurance, yes, because sovereignty among nations is a shake all effect. If we take it here and we don't let them do it, that means that when the reverse is also, when it happens, the reverse is also true for them. Yes. I get it. But the same way I'll be dealing with an abstract situation, if something happened to the goods and I had insured abroad and it happened here, I would be dealing across the water. If something happened, the ship moves out of, let's say, jurisdiction, local waters, and it hits international waters, and something happens to the ship, the enterprise will be dealing across the water for a scenario that needs to be reported from an event report also, yes, isn't it?
So normally when the goods arrive, there are certain procedures that are followed to ensure that the goods have arrived in the right quantities.
No, I'm talking about when it hasn't arrived.
Okay.
When the incident occurred as soon as the ship left port.
Right.
Yes. In territorial waters, even. Let me even add that. In territorial waters of China.
Yes. So definitely something will happen to the ship. A report will be made. I mean, unless, let's say, the ship sinks. But if something happens, something happens, just a portion of the goods may be damaged, or because something is happening, the weather is so bad, there's a storm, and that can, maybe some of the goods may even be thrown off the ship to be able to keep it afloat. It will arrive at the destination. An inspection is carried out. There are various players in that field, and these are specialized people who do these inspections and will be able to tell you that, okay, this is what happened, this is the value of the goods lost, this is the quantity, and so on and so forth.
No, I know all that will be done, but I suppose that the question I'm asking, and it will be the final question, is that across the world, sovereignty, we need to create an environment for economic comparative advantage.
Right.
And so everybody's doing it. I get it. But while we're seeking to strengthen penetration in the insurance industry in Ghana by passing this law, what is your opinion? And I know it won't be personal because you're sitting in an enterprise T-shirt. Are all countries at the same level in terms of the capacity to take the shock where there are situations of possible incidents outside of their waters? I'm not asking the question well.
So I'm sitting here and I'm
receiving imports from all over the world into Ghana.
Right.
Is the insurance industry in Ghana, and what has the experience been?
Okay.
Are we getting buffeted quite a bit? The US would be able to take those shocks a bit more. Europe would take them, let's say, the UK would take those shocks a bit more. But what has been our experience here in Ghana? And when you answer that, connected to the conversation on reinsurance, because I know that there's a lot of reinsurance that goes on.
Right. So
just to educate me as an importer who's sitting here.
So the question that keeps coming is, so okay, why the government is enforcing this law? Does the local insurers do they have the capacity to underwrite all these marine risks?
Exactly.
Yes, we have the capacity. There are a number of us in the industry. We have the capacity, and you know insurance the way it works. When we insure, we don't keep all the risk to ourselves. We do our profiling and then we tell ourselves, based on the risk, we will also do reinsurance. So we also take a certain portion of the risk and send it, pass it on to the reinsurers, so that when there's something happens, you are not caught up alone in it. And we have reinsurers in Ghana who are doing very well. We have reinsurers all over the world.
Ghana Re on my mind.
Yes, Ghana Re and all of the others. They are very solid, and they have what it takes to underwrite when we pass on to them. We also deal with reinsurers abroad who also have the capacity to reinsure. So it's a chain, all right? Okay. Just like we take from the client, we also pass to the
reinsurer. You also pass it back.
The reinsurer even passes to the retrocessionist, okay?
Right.
So it's a whole chain. And anything that happens, we have the capacity to be able to pay any claim that comes up.
Okay.
Because we don't keep everything for ourselves. We pass on the risk. When there's a claim, the reinsurers also cough out what they've taken.
Write this question down. I'm going to go on a break, but write this question down. Granted that the law has been passed, and I'm not sure how long it's been passed for, but how does it translate into the total cost exposure for importers?
Right,
and I may not remember it will come back. Right. But if you just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We're here with Michael Labi. He's talking to us about insurance for business growth, and we're talking about product liability, marine insurance. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we get interactive.
Your favorite on-air business development program, Joy Business Masterclass, is in session. And you can interact with us on Facebook via the Joy 99.7 FM or Joy Business pages. If you tweet, the handle is at Joy997FM or at JoyBusinessGH. Don't forget to hashtag JB Masterclass. You can also call us on 0302-216541 or send your questions and contributions through to the WhatsApp number 0551-111997, and our facilitators will address your concerns. Attention everyone, class is in progress.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We're interactive right now. Numbers to call 0302-216541. That's 0302216541. You can also send us your comments on 0551111997. That's 0551111997. If you're driving, please do not text while you drive. We want you to arrive alive. But otherwise, give us a call on 0302216541 or send us your comments on 0551111997. We're talking about insurance, product liability, marine insurance, product liability. Pick up that phone, give us a call, and let's have a conversation and make our businesses better. Here are some announcements for your attention. The Joy Business EcoBank Financial Dialogue. The future of finance is digital. The future starts with a conversation. How can technology expand financial access, empower small businesses, protect consumers, and drive inclusive economic growth? Join EcoBank Ghana and Joy Business for the inaugural EcoBank Joy Business Financial Dialogue series under the theme Driving Financial Inclusion Through Digital Transformation. Be part of insightful discussions on digital banking, mobile money, fintech innovation, cybersecurity, and the future of financial inclusion in Ghana and across Africa. I beg your pardon. The date is Tuesday, the 28th of July, 2026, and the time is 8 a.m. The EcoBank Joy Business Financial Dialogue Series, Shaping the Future of Finance in Africa. Don't miss it. It'll be live on Joy News TV and Joy FM. Fiscal attendance is strictly by invitation. The Vamo Technologies brings you job opportunities and favorite shows via your phone. Are you looking for a job and not sure where to search? Vamo keeps you connected anytime, anywhere. Just call 231 on MTN for free and select your preferred language to catch up on available job vacancies near you. And that is not all. You can also listen to real-life advice from experts to improve your daily life. All these are available on MTN short code 231. Vamo Technologies, bringing you closer to the conversation. We're still interactive. Numbers to call: 0302216541 or 0551111997. I've got a message on socials. This one says, good afternoon, Masterclass. We were advised to do insurance. But when it comes to the claim companies, the insurance companies play games. Why is it so? Gabriel, I've heard that before. We talked about it 3 weeks ago, but without naming and shaming, you probably are not insuring with the right insurance company. As for Enterprise, I'm holding them to it on national radio. When you make a claim and you have all your boxes ticked, they will pay your claim. It's safe to say that, right?
Very, very safe to say.
On national radio. Okay. By all means, Danso, that comment was from Danso.
Right.
You can reach back again if you have some additional questions or follow-on questions. But look at your insurance company. If they're not paying your claims, change them. Another one here, I don't have your name. It says, good afternoon, Masterclass. Very educated presentation by your guest. The following are my questions for your guest. Number one, what are some of the common mistakes that insurance policyholders make that sometimes make it difficult for them to get their claim? So your answer to this question will solve Danso's problem.
If you insured and you have a claim and the insurer, you think the insurer is not treating you fairly, we have the regulator. That is why there's a regulator, the National Insurance.
The headmaster.
You can go there. Yes, you can go there.
So for you heard this on Masterclass.
Yes.
If your insurance company is playing games,
claim, you can always go to
the headmaster.
The National Insurance Commission. Their doors are always open as far as these things are concerned, because we want a better industry. So they are always
there. I would love to hear from the National Insurance Commission there. I mean, if anyone is listening and they can just tag them, let them call in. Numbers to call 0302216541. And probably, share some thoughts to encourage the listening public about why they should insure their businesses, why it's important, and how, as regulators, they are available to support the process. Someone from the National Insurance Commission, please reach out to them. Let them give us a call. Let's assure the listening public.
There's that role of the regulator to ensure fairness. Mm. So if you have any issue with a claim, you can always go to the regulator. Some of the mistakes that customers make.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of buying, they don't want to listen.
It's a trick question.
just one part.
Yeah.
So at the time of buying, you want to educate, tell the person everything. Look, I'm in a hurry. Motor, third party. Oh, you just give it to me. Later. We don't want to read. But it is always important to hear the full story. Even when you have taken the policy and you have been given the policy document. Look, it's just like one of the documents we have. We just put it somewhere and forget. Read it and understand. So that when there's a claim, there will be no back and forth. Most often, it is always a fight sometimes, because we expected A, but the insurance says it is B. And when you go into the terms of the policy, it is clearly
I see.
There.
Just to hold brief also for the listener. Yes. Sometimes the person who sells the insurance to you is not the one who handles your claim.
All right. There are also the other aspect where the seller, the person doing the selling, missells.
Exactly.
And that is something that we don't encourage. I mean, you don't have to missell to a client. Give the person expectations that in reality
exactly
do not exist. It is important to disclose, you know, the principle of utmost good faith, to mm-hmm. disclose everything. It is not only on the part of the customer, it is also on the part of the insurer to disclose
everything.
But
the customer will say, maybe of every,
yes,
I came
every,
to you and you made me sign it. And then I want the money anyway. It was work in progress,
full
right?
Disclosure is very, very important.
Okay, the second question from Edmond. Edmond says, what are the key lessons that insurance companies have learned from the recent floods that hit the nation? Edmond, I'm not sure whether insurance companies are the ones who have learned.
Let me pick also something on the first question.
You know,
sometimes, even when there's a claim, we do things that puts the insurer in a tight corner, all right? And you always have to, once there's a loss, call the insurer, notify the insurer, even if it's by phone call, because we can guide you so that, because we need, as part of the process, the evidence gathering and the protecting of even the asset that is partly damaged, all of that. So don't tamper with the evidence. Don't try to do things by yourself. You don't know it all. So call your insurer and let the insurer advise you, do this. In the meantime, whilst we... we pick it up and then fully process your claim. Don't tamper.
That's very important.
Very, very important.
And maybe to my listening public, to my entrepreneurs, my business owners, one thing you find is in other parts of the world, let's even use road accidents. The moment there's an accident, they get on the phone. Who are they calling? They're calling their insurer. But in Ghana, you know, we'll call somebody first. First, we'll call family. Then we decide whether we want to call police. Then we'll move the car. The insurer comes and says, but you move the car. So how do we know that? Then we get into that conversation.
You know, even for the police, I mean, when there's an accident, they'll tell you, don't leave it. They'll come and take the
measurements and all of
so
that.
So it's important we know what to do when there's a claim. And all of this is part of the education to the public to know when to do when there's a claim. Then take the second question.
Yes. I think the second question was, what key lessons have the insurance companies learned from the floods? But I'm wondering whether it's the insurance companies who have learned, or it's all of us who should be learning. But that's the question he asked. Yes, let's answer the question he asked.
For us as insurers, we are in the business of insurance is to pay claims. I mean, there's no real benefit from insurance if there's no claim will be paid when there's a loss. So what we are seeing, what we are realizing is that for those who have insurance, it is comforting. They know they have insurance cover. You are not wailing. They don't tell themselves everything has come to a standstill, they are losing their business. No, because they know they have the full support of we, the insurers. And
but,
then
yeah.
for the insuring public, some of the what is coming up now, in fact, it has always been the case that when something happens, then people are crying, Aje Mama, because they don't have insurance. People's homes, people's vehicles are gone. Some people's businesses, they've lost everything.
But I suppose the question he's asking is that from what you see, what you've seen, the extent of damage, because you guys were going around.
Yes.
What, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you take 10 people who have been affected, how many had cover? I think that's what he's referring to, that what have you seen?
Okay, on the balance of probability, maybe I'll say roughly for the business sector, maybe about 50%.
As for business, say by law you have to cover. But I'm talking about individuals who have lost their cars and things.
Oh, several, maybe up to 80% don't have insurance for their homes.
So only 2 out of 10.
For their homes.
And that's something you are seeing based on what has happened.
Yes.
So it's information for all of us. Let's pick up on that issue.
Yeah,
there was a question I asked before we went, but we're still interactive. Your questions help us to be able to bring you content that helps your businesses to grow. We're here to talk about helping your businesses to grow as entrepreneurs. So pick up that phone, give us a call, 0302-216-541. We're still interactive, or send us those comments on 0551111997. Product liability, we're talking about employee dishonesty, you're a business owner. What insurance do you have? Let's have that conversation. 0302216541 or send us your comments on 0551111997. We're talking about a question before we went on break, and which is that the introduction of this, how long has this law been in existence anyway?
It's been in existence for a long time.
A very long
it's
time.
The enforcement. Right. The enforcement. So the enforcement.
So has the recent enforcement caused increases in the total financial exposure?
It's a process. It's a gradual process. You know, it doesn't, everything won't come in boom.
Let me ask. Michael is answering the question like a corporate person. Let me ask the question in local language. If I was paying 10,000
yes
to clear 10 containers of goods,
okay,
with this your new thing,
yes,
that I have to now take insurance for the thing I'm bringing here,
yeah,
locally,
yeah, yeah,
if you look at the premium I am paying, my money I'm paying, I'm speaking like a local person, has gone up from 10,000 to what? Because that money will pass on to the consumer. That's the point I'm trying to make.
No. So there's no justification to say that the premium you were paying for the importer. The
I wasn't paying at all because I would have taken the insurance in China. Now you said I should take it in Ghana.
No, so you were still paying insurance premium for your consignments.
But not in Ghana. Yes.
It was foreign exchange.
So it's transfer.
So number
it's
one.
A cost transfer.
So number one, there's that exchange rate risk, mm-hmm, which you are bearing as a business because it's in foreign currency. Number two, the premiums locally, as supported by the regulator, are very, very competitive compared with the international rates. And you are paying in the local currency. It is cheaper.
I think you have answered my question.
It is very, very cheaper. We want to disabuse the minds of the importers, exporters, that, oh, if you this directive brings with it an increase in cost of premium. No, it is rather cheaper. You are avoiding the exchange rate risk and you're paying the local currency, and the rates are very, very competitive.
So it's a plus.
It's a plus. It's a very big plus. And we must.
In the implementation of this law, what support are we giving local importers? Advisory, other policies that help to cushion them quite a bit? Are there any provisions available in the insurance cycle or portfolio that helps to cushion them a bit?
Oh, so there has been various fora as far as this policy to get everybody to come to the table so we can all be on the same page. We all have a clear understanding. There's no ambiguity. It's very clear to all the stakeholders involved. There, several fora have been organized as far as this is concerned. So we are, all the stakeholders involved are well aware and are very clear what the policy is about. And we must all embrace it and make it work. It is advantageous to the importer. Like I said, your cost of premium will be lower because you're avoiding the exchange rate risk, and the rates offered locally are also very, very competitive. The insurer you are dealing with is here. If you have any issues with a claim payment, the regulator is here. You can go to the regulator. There are opportunities for you to do so. Even if an insurer is dragging its feet, like I'm saying, the regulator is there.
And
when it comes to payment of claim, the insurance industry has stood very strongly behind all legitimate, and the emphasis is on legitimate claims. Once your claim is valid, it's legit, like we say, the insurance company.
I'm not going to go there because I understand you. But I can almost hear in my ear the first caller saying, you talked to me about legitimate claim, but when you were taking my premium, you didn't say it was legitimate premium. Anyway, that's what time is probably going to allow us. But right. you had bit more information, or that's just about it. Okay, so we're back here next week, thank God. I mean, we still have a bit more time. But just to drive home the point a bit more, focusing on how we can make our businesses better with the provision of product liability insurance, marine insurance. Just take it again, maybe 30 seconds. Right. Let's drive home that point.
Okay.
And let's highlight on how it benefits our businesses and why they should consider it.
Right.
And then you can just do a take out for today. And then
all right. So managing a business or running a business itself is very demanding. It involves so many risks. Some you can insure. Those ones you can insure them to protect your business, because you are running the business as an entrepreneur with the profit motive to make profit for yourself, your family, your employees, and everybody to be happy. So if something goes wrong as far as your business is concerned, your building collapses, the factory catches fire and gets burnt, your motor vehicles are washed away by flood, your employees are injured in the course of work and all of that. These are risks that can cripple your business, and you don't want that. You don't want to be overtaken by events. So take insurance to protect yourself from these risks, because we always say, it won't happen to me. Okay, fine, my neighbor's house got burnt. Okay, that is them, maybe fine. But me, it won't happen. You know that it won't happen to me syndrome. That is most often the notion. But one day, that which you don't expect happens. So protect yourself. And you realize people have lost their homes with very valuable things. All the memories of all those things you had is gone. So protect your employees, protect your assets, physical assets, protect the operations of your company in terms of money, those handling cash, the movement of the cash, even for your accountants and so on, the embezzlement, the forgery, and the things that can happen because they handle your money and all of that. So take insurance to protect your business. Your business will continue to operate so you can make the profit that you want to.
And your business can be a going concern.
Yes, it can be a going concern.
Interesting. Very Michael Labi, Assistant General Manager, Corporate Distribution, Enterprise Insurance, sharing those thoughts with us. Thankfully, he's back here on the show again next week to sort of round up the conversation on insurance, and I sincerely hope that you have picked up something that will help your business to grow. This has been Masterclass. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you same time next week.
Joy 99.7 FM.